Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Good morning.
Good morning. Darren, good morning. Good morning. There it is. I don't know. Maybe I wasn't talking right. I might have a talking problem. Hey, glad that y'all are here this morning. There's something going on out there this morning. You know, it's kind of wet and slick and never mind. Okay. I was going to say it's raining, but it's not raining. That's not rain. That's moisture. West Texas moisture. Thank you, Lord. We don't take it for granted. Anyway, glad you're here this morning. Whether you can see the Lord and whether you can feel him or not, he's here. This is his house. You are his people. And he is working. He desires to work in us today. Lord Jesus, we just invite you to come. Lord, as we sing, as we pray, as we hear your word, Lord, let us just respond to your seeking of our hearts. Let us respond to the coming of your spirit in this place. Lord, we don't need to know about you. We need to know of you. We don't need to just sit in these pews. We don't need to just take up space here in wherever we're sitting. God, we need you to come and take up space in us, to come and reign and rule in us. Come, Lord, do what you need to do in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Couple of announcements. First, how many of you get the wake-up call? I see the forehands. Thank you very much. Okay, look, please, during Lent, we're asking the whole church, we're doing a study called Jesus in the Wild. We're preaching on it. We have a group that's going to be Monday afternoon where we're talking about it. But if you, this daily reading, if you would just do this, his name is Dan Wilt. He's writing about Jesus' journey in the wild. And so all you got to do, you can sign up right there, click, you know, or however you want to do that. But please sign up. Second announcement, there's something special going on Wednesday night. Bear and Carol Mills, right? Bear and Carol just got back from Israel. They have so much to share. And I think one of the things they might even share with us is maybe how we might get to go too, right? Is that in the loop there somewhere? So anyway, so please come. That's this Wednesday night, 6 to 7 in sanctuary. Okay. Lord, have your way with us. Lord, as the choir sings to us, Lord, just let this beautiful song about the river, the place of life, that we get to go to that river anytime we want to. In fact, Lord, that river becomes so real that we're just not standing beside the river. Lord, that river of life is inside of us, full and overflowing. Spring up that river in all of us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Leo. Y'all, this morning, our Missions Minute is about snack packs. We've already packed them, but where you can help is you can give to those. If you want to give specially, we picked up an extra school. We're now doing three elementary schools in the Cooper School District. And so if you want to give anything financially, that'll help us pay. And if you don't know what this is, Hands of Jesus Ministry is for the most needy kids in our community. They're the ones that are on school lunches, and so they're fed through the school week, but they have food scarcity on the weekends. And so if you would like to help be a part of ministering to those kids, you can give. And by the way, you could also, we actually today we got to go buy like five of those new black tote, what do y'all call those, buckets, baskets, I don't know, anybody know what do you call them? Huh? Tubs, black tubs. Thank you very much. You win. Here. yeah, thank you. Okay. Anyway, so anything you want to do to help, and there's still some packing we have to do down there even afterwards if you want to help. Lord Jesus, thank you for a church that opens their eyes to see the needs around them. God, help us be your hands, your feet. God, your provision for those who need you most. Lord, we are so thankful, God, for the way that you love us, for the way that you provide for us. Lord, we do ask today as we give to you, Lord, that you will just take our little, God, turn it into your much to change this world. We love you, Jesus. Lord, I'm mindful today that there are even those here who could be struggling with job, with finances, with relationships. God, I just pray that you will be Jehovah Jireh for us in here. So you will bless us in here so we can be a blessing for those in this world. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Beautiful. Thank y'all for leading us in worship this morning. Hear the word of the Lord. Receive the word of the Lord. Let the word of the Lord become real to you. This is Luke chapter 4. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, then tell this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I'll give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus said, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil led him to Jerusalem, took him to stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you're the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written." Now Satan's quoting scripture to Jesus. "For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They'll lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Then Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. Lord Jesus, this morning, we're going to journey. We're going to go with you into this wild place, into this wilderness. And Jesus, as we go with you, Lord, we ask that you come and go with us into ours. Lord, help us to learn of you and from you. God, help us this morning to just let the Holy Spirit come. Come and show us who we really are and whose we really are. Let us hear your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all can be seated. So if you have been reading the Daily Wake Up Call, Dan Wilk, he has these two groups. He gave us two groups of words. Group one, tame, predictable, comfortable, safe, sustainable, content, peaceful, reliable, sure, restful. Group two, wild, unpredictable, uncomfortable, dangerous, unsustainable, adventurous, alert, surprising, unsure, and restless. And then Dan observed that most of us aim at and prefer group one. I mean, when we think about how we want our lives to be, our finances to be, our relationships to be, group one tends to get our vote. But let me ask you another question. Where does growth happen? When you look at those two groups, where does change, transformation happen? Group one, group two? Thank you for that answer. Again, I'll pay you later. All right. For the next 6 weeks, we're going to go on a journey with Jesus into the wild. We're going to learn from Jesus, and we're going to learn of Jesus as we let him become more real and more alive in us. This morning, three truths about the wilderness, the wild. First truth is that the wild is a universal human condition. Universal human condition. The wild in this passage, the wild or wilderness in ancient Israel, and y'all were just there in present day Israel, it's barren. It's barren land. The wild is the hot and sparsely populated land. The wild is the seemingly infertile and desert-like land. The Greek word eromos is it has all kind of a wide range of meanings. It can be translated desert, a deserted place, desolate place, solitary place, lonely place, quiet place, and wilderness or the wild. John the Baptist, here's some examples. John the Baptist lived and preached in the Aromos. Jesus fed the multitudes in the Aromos. Jesus was often trying to get away with his disciples, like the men got away on men's retreat. Get away to the Aromos to have retreat and renewal. Luke 4:42 tells us that at daybreak, Jesus went out into the Aromos, and Jesus, in other words, went to a solitary place. All right? So do you feel that desolation or that emptiness or that sparseness? Now remember, Jesus is not a tourist passing through. Jesus is not a modern day observer taking a 2-hour peek. Jesus is going into this wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights without food, without water, without friends, without family. Isolation to the nth degree. The wilderness of Israel is a wild, unruly, untamed, barren land. It's a devoid of life, food, and water. It's a place of great lack, a place of great need. And yes, the wild is not just a place. The wild is a universal human condition. It's my contention this morning that every single one of us here know the reality of what it means to be in the wild. It's my belief that every single one of us here this morning is either going into the wild, in the midst of the wild, or trying like the Dickens to get out of the wild. The wild is a place of great lack, of great need, and often of great hurt. It's a place where some of us get trapped. We never get out of there. It's a place that sometimes defeats us. It's a place where finding help is not an option, but an absolute necessity. Some of us find ourselves in the wild because of something that someone else has done to us. Some of us find ourselves in the wild due to our own choices. Some of us are in the wild simply because of our current life circumstances. This is Sylvia Liston. She was my mom's best friend. Sylvia played the organ. My mom played the piano in our church for like forever together. And I'll never forget, it was about 4 o'clock one day after school. The phone rang. Mama picked up the phone. And this, all of a sudden, she began to just cry out, moan, and fell to the floor. Because Sylvia, at 54 years old, had died of a massive heart attack. And she was gone. On the way to Ruidoso this weekend, Lowell and I stopped and had dinner with my nephew, Mike Hurst, and his wife, Brenda. Mike is a physical therapist. He's an entrepreneur. He's a restaurant owner and a rancher. Mike and Brenda have a ranch of 58,000 acres about halfway between Roswell and Las Cruces. His land borders with White Sands Missile Site. And he said, Andy, it's just a big old wilderness. It's just a big old desert. You know, when Michael Lynn was a little boy, and his mom and dad, my brother Michael and my sister-in-law Darrell, when they divorced, Mike and his two little brothers, they entered into the wild, a true place of great need, hurtful wilderness. It was definitely not of their making. When my mother lost her friend, into the wild of loss and grief. When Mother Grace was married for decades to someone dealing with an unrecognized, unconfessed addiction, that was the wild for her. That was the wilderness that Mama believed God was actually calling her to. And believe me, her wilderness was indeed a place of great lack, a place of great need, a place where finding help was not an option, but an absolute necessity. On Wednesday morning at Southwest, a woman with cancer came to receive the mark of the cross on her forehead. She was on her way to chemo. She was there recognizing her mortality. She was there seeking and fighting for healing. And in the middle of the wild, she came putting her trust and putting her life in the very hands of Jesus. I wonder where you might be experiencing the wild in your life this morning. I wonder where you might be knowing, feeling great need, experiencing great lack or great hurt in your life, in your relationship, in your family this morning. Wherever you are, going into the wild, in the midst of the wild, trying to get the heck out of the wild, wherever you are this morning, He is Jehovah Shammah, God who is present for and with you. Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, I mean, if everything's hunky-dory, end of story, if everything's wonderful and awesome, if I go up to the heavens, you're there. But if I make my bed, if I find my feet, if I find myself in the depths and the pits of Sheol, you're still there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea where I'm all by myself, I don't have any of my network with me, even there, your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, the darkness is so real, the fear is so real, the presence of evil is so real, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become not around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. For the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. I don't know where you are this morning, but I know where God is. He's where you are. In the midst of the wild, He is with you. He is for you. Second truth about the wild is that Jesus was called into the wild. The wild didn't just happen to Jesus. He didn't just accidentally find himself there. Luke 4, 1 and 2. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Probably an understatement, right? Y'all, why? Why did the Spirit lead Jesus into the wilderness? I mean, why did Jesus go into the wild? He went so that he might be tested, tempted, and challenged. It was essential that Jesus go to that desert because what he had to deal with there would set the course and pave the way for his obedience to the Father all the way to the cross. I mean, by the way, it's so interesting to see where Jesus' journey to the wild occurs in his life. I mean, over here, the thing that happens right before, the very first thing, Jesus, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's awesome. You know, he is baptized. He steps into the water. This voice says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, right? And then the heavens open and the Holy Spirit descends upon him like a dove. By the way, that's why we have the dove here. If in case you don't know, this is a symbol of the Holy Spirit descending upon us in this house. Law, I didn't design this church. In fact, there are very few that are here, still here, that had this as their vision for what St. Luke's was to be about. The Holy Spirit descending into this place. Anyway, that's where Jesus is. He's at his baptism. Woo, it's awesome. And then boom, in the wilderness. That's what we're talking about this morning. You know what happens right after the wilderness? He starts his ministry. Right? I'm just saying, what happened here was crucial to what happened here. You see, what happens in the wilderness for Jesus is critical to Jesus' God-given mission. Now, I know some of you might be asking, well, was this a real test or just a formality, you know? I mean, was this a real temptation, a real struggle, a real challenge for Jesus, or was he just going through the motions, you know? It was a predetermined outcome. This is what we believe. We believe that Jesus was fully God, but we also believe that Jesus was fully human. We believe Philippians chapter 2. It's called the kenosis passage. This is Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He let it go. Kenosis, he emptied himself. But he made himself nothing. taking the very nature of a servant, a slave, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Fully human. Fully like you and me. Fully human Jesus experienced profound vulnerability in the wild. Make no mistake. Fully human Jesus had to face the very real temptation of the very real evil one coming at him. Here's what Hebrews 4 says. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, because we don't have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weaknesses. You know why? Because he's just like you and me. We have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Jesus knows what it is to suffer. Jesus knows what it is to hurt. Jesus knows what it is when the people that are supposed to love you the most are the ones that hurt you the most. Jesus knows what it is to be rejected. Jesus knows what it is to, to choose life or death, obedience or disobedience. In the wild, in the wilderness, in that face-to-face encounter with Satan, the great deceiver, the great accuser, Jesus has the ability to sin or not to sin. His obedience in the most difficult of circumstances was pivotal, mission critical to the salvation of all humanity. What happened in that desert, what happened in the wild, makes all the difference for what Jesus did for us on the cross. Please don't miss two details of Jesus' call to the wild. First, who called Jesus to the wild? Go back and look at Luke 4:1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Holy Spirit, God Himself, called and led Jesus into that place of testing and challenge. Well, I don't think there's a person here that likes that. Any of us, I mean, I'd love to go there. Hey, let's go, you know. But that's what happens here. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was left Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And then second, please note, you know, how did Jesus enter and also exit the wilderness? Okay, Luke 4 verse 1 says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Right? Now go look at verse 14. This is on the way out. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, in the fullness of the Spirit. There's a definite contrast, I think, between Jesus's, what was going on with him physically and what was going on with him spiritually. The definite contrast between Jesus's physical emptiness and his spiritual fullness. I mean, if you were looking at Jesus after 40 days of no food and water, if you're looking at him or smelling him after sleeping out in the dirt for 40 days, it's kind of like if you were looking or smelling at the men at men's retreat. Anyway, if you're looking at him after no warm bubble baths for 40 days, he probably was looking pretty worn and scruffy. He probably was looking pretty desolate and impoverished on the outside. And yet in the midst of Jesus' drastic physical emptiness, there's an absolute spiritual fullness. Empty with human eyes, if you're just looking at him, but full of the Spirit, if you really recognized what was going on. Jesus came into the wild full of the Spirit, and Jesus came out of the wild full of the Spirit. That contrasting reality between outward emptiness and inward fullness not only is what made all the difference for Jesus, it is what will make all the difference. I promise, it is what will make all the difference for us. I visited someone in the hospital over the last couple of weeks who's just in a horrendous battle against cancer. And every time I visit her, she's far more interested in hearing about the revival going on in the world than she is about sharing all her ailments. Her body may be weak, weary, and worn out, but her spirit is alive and well because the Holy Spirit is so beautifully present and working in her. I want to be like that someday. I want to be like that someday when I too get sick. And by the way, all of us someday are going to get sick. Someday all of us are going to get seriously ill. All of us someday, right, are going to get to this point in our lives when we stop breathing here on planet Earth, and we stop breathing here and we start gulping in eternity with Jesus. And I want to be like her. I want to be like Jesus. When I'm facing challenges that are so overwhelming that my only hope is in Him, my only hope is Him in me, I want to be like her. I want to be like Jesus. Someday Jesus is going to call my name. As days go by, I hope I don't stay the same. I want to get so close to Him that it's no big change on that day that Jesus calls my name. Y'all, this morning, where's your dependence? Where's your trust? This morning, are you in such a place that you don't have any other choice but to put your hope in Him and ask Him to put Himself in you? Third thing, final thing, truth this morning is that there's always purpose in the wild. There are always choices that we make in the wild that are going to determine our direction for our future. I mean, I think we've all heard the foundational principle that says, you know, the choices you make today determine who you become tomorrow, right? Satan had for sure a definite purpose when he went after Jesus. And Satan has a definite purpose when he goes after us. Jesus says in John 10, verse 10, that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what he wanted to do with Jesus. He wanted to steal his identity. He wanted to kill his intimacy with the Father. He wanted to destroy the very mission of God. Satan, the Greek word, he is the diabolos. The accuser, the scandalizer, the condemner. And he's not just after Jesus in the wild. He's after you and me in the wilds of our everyday life. The diabolos, the devil, is a real foe. With real strategy and real little p power to cause us harm. He's out to take you down. He's out to take me down. And when he does, see, he causes concentric carnage to everyone who is attached to our lives. 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert and be sober-minded. Wake up, in other words, wake up. Because your enemy, your adversary, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's Satan's purpose in the wild. But guess what? God has an even greater, an even more important purpose, a more powerful purpose. And that is in John 10, 10:2. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. The Greek word parousos is life to the more, life to the full, life exceedingly and beyond expectations, life that is more than enough. That's what Jesus wants to give to you. That's what he wants to do in you. Jesus wants, Luke 19:10, Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And Jesus wants to find us and meet us in the wild. Jesus wants to save us and rescue us from the one who's out to destroy us. Jesus wants to give us his fullness where maybe right now we only have emptiness. I love the promise of Psalm 23:4, right? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I'm in the middle of the wild, even though I'm in the desolate place, I will fear no evil. For I know that you are with me and that your rod and your staff, they comfort me, they protect me. Y'all, again, I don't know where you are, but he does. And I don't care where you are, that's where he wants to be. That's where he's willing to be. And his rod and his staff will comfort you and protect you. Dan Wilk, a couple of quotes from him. I apologize, I meant to put them in and I didn't. Dan Wilk said this week. He said, The wild is a place of naked encounter with God and ourselves, vulnerable encounter. It's a place we never want to go, but we choose to go there. We choose to meet God there because the Spirit has led us there, and we are not content to remain where we are. If you are, doggone it, you'll stay right there. I mean, if who you are is who you're going to be, that's where you're going to be. But He wants to do something new and different and better and more powerful in your life and through your life. Or you can just remain where you are. God can be encountered anywhere, Dan says. The wild and its unruliness and its lack of clear promise with its sense of missed or averted destiny, the wild is a unique place of encounter and formation for the follower of Jesus. And then he says this, the Holy Spirit does an incredible work in us when things feel most precarious, most unsafe, and most unpredictable. Yesterday when I climbed that little mountain behind our retreat center, I knew I was going to do a bunch of this switchback stuff. But, I mean, the key was finding the right goat trail or deer trail. Until I found that, I was in trouble. And I was just rock, climb. And on the way up, I'm sucking air because it's steep. But on the way down, that was precarious. That was a little risky. That was not safe. And so, I mean, I spent a lot of that time coming down that mountain on my backside. And I spent a lot of time with a stick trying to hold myself. But y'all, as long as I was on safe ground, guess who I was trusting then? Me. But when we get precarious, right? When we are at risk, we have nowhere to go but Him. That's the wild. That's why He takes us into the wild, so that we will depend upon Him. We sang a song at men's retreat called Make Room. I'm sure a lot of y'all know it. Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. That's the invitation this morning. Will you make room for Jesus? Not to do what you want Him to do. Not to act according to your whims and wishes. But will you make room for Jesus to come and do whatever He wants to in you? Lord, you know where we are. You know where the precarious, dangerous, risky places are in our lives right now. And Lord, help us when we try to go into that wild in our strength instead of yours. God, when we go there trusting in ourselves rather than full of you, Lord, help us. Rescue us from our own self-sufficiency. Lord, help us to make room for you. No matter where we are in our circumstance, no matter where we are in our challenges, no matter where the adversity is right now, God, help us to make room for you to come and do what needs to be done in our lives. You did it for Jesus, and I know you desire to do it for us too. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Y'all, for Jesus, there was a real battle going on. And that battle, or those battles with Satan out in that wilderness, that had to be won there so He could win our salvation there. And I just want to say, we all have battles. We all have stuff going on in our wild. And we need the power of God, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, to help us win those battles now so that someday, that salvation will come, deliverance will come, healing will come, restoration will come, His manifested presence will come and just completely bring us the salvation that we need in our own homes, in our own lives, in our own situations. So Lord God, today, come into the battle. Come into the wild with us. Help us not try to do it on our own, not a single minute more. Come and meet us where we are, Lord Jesus. We trust You. We may not like where we are, but we trust You where we are because we know we are not alone, that You are with us. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank y'all. Remember, come see Bear and Carol Wednesday night.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.